Today's daf kuf chaf beis amen, and we're going to start on kuf chaf aleph amen beis at the end of the fourth wide line. Tana rabbanim mizdanlin chashim akravim. If somebody meets up with a snake or a scorpion, hargon. If he kills that snake, biyuduish mizdanlin lo hargon. It means that minashemayim he was the person that was sent to kill the snake. Loy hargon, if he wasn't able to kill them, biyuduish nizdam lahargoy, really they had been sent to kill him. V'naslo ines minashemayim, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu protect him, and he didn't get affected by the snake. In other words, the Sfarim explain, when somebody says Birchas HaGoymel, what do they say? Baruch HaGoymel l'chayovim toivos. What's the Lashon l'chayovim? If a person had a nes happen to them, they have to realize that really they were supposed to be b'tzara. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his great kindness, had rachmanis on the person. Here too, if somebody met up with a snake, but nothing happened to him, it's min ha-shamayim. Amar of Ula v'tayim rabba b'vachana, Amar of Yochanan, when is that? But neshufenboy. Neshufenboy, the two pshatim drushonim. Rashi says that they're hissing. If the snake is hissing at you, that means it wanted to attack you. And if you, the other pshat is ben neshufim boy, that they're getting close to you. Amar Rab Abba bar Kahana, pamachas nof echav b'smedrish. One time a snake fell in the shul. V'omid nevusi achad. One nevusi. Rashi says nevusi is a Jew, was a Jew for hargon, and he killed it. Amar Papa, so Rebbe said in response to this situation, Pogabar ki yotzibar, somebody equal to the snake killed it. Ask the Gemara, what does that mean? Ibailu, Pogabar ki yotzibar, doesn't mean the shapra of it, that this person did the right thing for killing the snake on Shabbos. Oiloi, he did the wrong thing. Toshma, Reb Abba Rey, Reb Chiyah bar Abba, Reb Zeri, Reb Yosai, killed the Reb Yanai. They were both sitting on the porch of Reb Yanai. Nofik, and they began to speak and learning. And they asked Reb Yanai the following question: could somebody kill snakes or scorpions in Shabbos? I even kill a bee, a wasp, a snake and a scorpion, which is certainly more dangerous than a bee. Says the Gemara, that's not a proof. So from here we see that you're allowed to kill them on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, that's no proof. Because what happened there is that they didn't actually premeditated kill the snake and scorpion. They were walking, and there was a snake and scorpion on the floor, and they happened to have crushed it. But not that they are allowed to explicitly go kill it. Because as the Gemara says, Dama Rav Yehuda, Roik Darsel of Nitumai. So Rashi explains that if somebody's walking on the street and there's spittle on the street, he's allowed, the way Rashi explains it, he's allowed to deliberately walk on the spittle, even though by doing that, he's doing a shvui gomers. He's straightening out the floor. Still, the halach is he's allowed to do it. Why is he allowed to do it? Because that's not his intention. His intention is to walk on the street. And Rashi says, even though he knows he's walking on the spittle. Von Rav Sheshes says, Nochosh, if there's a snake on the street, Darsel of Fitumai. Von Rav Ketina, Akriv, if there's a scorpion on the street, Darsel of Fitumai. So the way Rashi explains it, it's not that you're allowed to deliberately say, you know, I see a snake on the floor, I'm going to step on it and crush it. That would be awesome. The halacha, the Gemara is saying is that if you're walking the street, and you're walking straight and normal, even though when you walk, you may crush a snake, because you didn't really pay attention to what's on the floor, it's fine. And Rashi says, even according to Yehuda, who says, Melach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa is Chayiv, here, since it's Melach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, and it's also Davish Ein Miskavin, you're just walking, it'll be mutter even according to Yehuda. Other Rishonim say that it'll only be mutter according to Shimon. You would not, if you saw the snake and you intend to kill it, you would have to redirect. If you're just walking straight and you don't intend to kill it, because you may not necessarily kill it, because it may survive, then you're allowed to walk straight. Says the Gemara. Abba Marsad or Abba Benyumi. Abba Marsad was really Abba Benyumi. Why did he have both names? The Seidat Dor says his mother's name was Marsa, his father's name was Benyumi. Have a maskibay the Bay Rish Galusa Zuzi. He owed money to the Rish Galusa. And as we find in a number of places in Shas, Rish Galusa's entourage was somewhat of a tough group. And he owed them money. I saw come at Sarale. So they went and they took him, and the way Rabbi Yaakov Emim explains the Gemara, they put him into jail until you pay up. Have a Kashadi Roika. There was spit on the floor. Amr Rish Galusa said, I Samana Schifulai. Bring a utensil to cover it up, because on Shabbos you can't walk on it. It was on Shabbos. So this Abba Bar Masa told him there's no need, because Hacham Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara we just learned, Roik Dars Lefitumai, that if there's spittle on the street, anyway you could just walk on it. Like we explained according to Rashi, it could even be deliberately walking on it. So there's no reason to bring something to cover it up. Amlu. So Rav Nader Resh Galusa saw that this person that they had locked up was a Talmud Chacham. So he said, Surbim Rabbanahu, I see he's a Talmud Chacham, Shefkur. So it means even though they acted somewhat roughly towards people, they still had respect for Talmud Chachamim. Amar Rav Abba Bakahana, Amar Rav Chanina. Pemuta Shel Beis Rebbe. And like Rashi explains, the next three halachas we're going to learn in the Gemara really have nothing to do with the sugyas we've been learning. Just since we have Rav Abba Kahana, we're going to mention some other halachas from Rav Abba Kahana. Pemutas Shel Beis Rebbe. Pemutas means the candelabras. So the way Rashi explains, we're talking about candelabras that aren't made out of parts. It's not like screwed together pieces. Because if they're screwed together, we already learned the halacha, you're not allowed to move that candelabra because it may fall apart. There's a gzeira midrabanan that it may fall apart, and then you'll have to put it back together, and it's awesome. And obviously, we're also not talking with it as a candle lit in these candelabras, because then it's certainly muksa. Here you just have a candelabra. Now the question is, mutal tapul in the Shabbos. He says that you're allowed to carry them on Shabbos. There's no problem with muksa. Omle rabzeira, nitalim biyode achas, ubishta yadayim. What kind of candelabra are we talking about? Are we speaking strictly about one that's not that heavy, that it can be carried with one hand, or even one that's heavy, that you need two hands to carry? Why would it make a difference if it needs one hand or two hands? Because if it's a heavy candelabra, so a person is kaveh le'makom, a person designates a spot for it, and it becomes muksa machmas chasar kis. Because anything that has a specific place designated where it should always remain is possibly muksa machmas chasar kis. Amalaisa responded, Ka'osin Shel Beis Avicha. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara is that they were small, that they could be carried with one hand. But yes, if they would need two hands, they would be awesome because the Muksa Machmas Chasar Kis. Other Rishonim learn, like the Ran learns like this, that he meant to say even big ones could be carried. Similar Gemara. V'amar Reb Abba Bar Kahana Amar Reb Chanina. Kronos Shel Beis Rebbe. The wagons of Beis Rebbe, Mutl Tatlum B'Shabbos, can be moved B'Shabbos. Again, Amalei Reb Zeira, Nitom Ba'ada Echor B'Shnei Ben Adam, one person or two people, is it only a light one or a heavy one? Amalei Kaisha Shel Beis Avicha, again, Rashi seems to learn that they're light. A third halacha.
Other
mechad
is not light, because one hand, two hands.
Right, but wagons aren't measured in one by hands. Barab Abba Kahana. Hitlam Rukhanin al Beis Rebbe, Lishtis Yain Bekronishal Nachri. The halacha is, as we know, wine has to have a strong heksher, otherwise it's Dam Yenam. Not only does it have to have a strong heksher, it has to have seals to make sure that the wine is the kosher wine, that it wasn't switched. So normally, what's the halacha? It has to have Chaisim B'tai Chaisim. It has to have two seals. Says the Gemara, Reb Chanina allowed the people from Rebbe's house lishtas yoyim b'kronos shel rochim, wine that was delivered by a non-Jewish delivery b'chaisim echad, only with one seal. However, v'lo yedana, I'm not sure what was the basis of the heter. Was the basis of the heter Yishun Nisavlak Rebbe Lezer, who Rebbe Lezer doesn't require ever on wine two chaisimis? Rebbe Lezer only requires one chaisim, or normally he would agree you need two seals. However, here, who owned this wine? It was owned by Rebbe. Rebbe, we know, is the Nasi. So that was a situation where there's less of a concern for tampering, and that's why in this specific situation, he allowed only one seal. But normally he would require two seals. Begins the Mishnah. We go back to discussing something we began discussing yesterday. And this is the halacha of what may a guy do for a Jew on Shabbos or not. So the halacha is like this. First of all, we're not allowed to ask a guy to do melacha for us on Shabbos. It's the Rabbanim. Furthermore, if you asked a guy to do melacha for you on Shabbos, you're not allowed to have hanah from what he did for you. And the Rabban asks, isn't that exeira l'exeira? First is exeira that you're not allowed to ask a guy. And then is exeira if he asked, and that if he did for you, it's going to be usur. And we've learned many times that we don't make exeira l'exeira. So Rabban says, kulachad exeira. It's really all one exeira. Chazal knew that if they're going to allow you to have hanah from what the guy does for you on Shabbos, then you're going to ask him to do. So the way we're able to make sure that you're never going to ask a guy is by making gzer that if you do ask, it'll be awesome. What happens? What's the halacha if a guy did malacha for you without your asking, but he did it specifically for you? So if he did a malacha deraisa, this is the way we paskin. If he did a malacha deraisa, then nobody has a lot of anah from it. If it's a malacha derabanan, then the person he did it for, it's awesome. For everybody else, it's mutter. Now, Tosfos makes a very interesting observation. Let's say a Jew did melacha for you. So we would think a Jew doing melacha for you is worse than a guy doing melacha for you. A Jew, it's a deraisa. A guy, it can never be an issue of a deraisa. Yet, there are days, under certain circumstances, and certain mandam always, when a Jew does a melacha for another Jew, it's mutter to have a nah. And when a guy, you're now out of a nah. Why? So the answer is, since asking a guy to do a melacha for you is not a big deal. It's only a person can view it not as a big deal because it's only the Rabbanim. The only way we can make sure that somebody's not going to do malacha for you is by you're not going to ask. The only way we can make sure that you're not going to ask a goy to do malacha for you is by saying if he does it, you can't have a no. But a Jew is not going to do malacha even if I ask him to, because it's a Jew. And even if you find a Jew, it's a mussar l'shchicha. That's why we're more lenient when a Jew does malacha for a Jew, then when a guy does malacha for a Jew. This is an interesting observation. Begins the Mishnah. Nachri shehidlikas in there, if a guy put on a candle, is the halacha mishtamish l'ayri Yisrael. If the Jew could use that light. That means if a guy put on electricity, we could walk into the room. However, then b'shril Yisrael, but if the guy did it specifically for a Jew, then it's awesome. And again, Tosfos makes an interesting observation. The Gemara in the beginning, a Masech de Beya, says like this. If a fruit falls off a tree, you're not allowed to eat it. Why? On Shabbos Yontif. Because we're afraid that you may come and detach a fruit yourself. If juice oozes out of a fruit, you're not allowed to drink that juice on Shabbos. Why? We're afraid you're going to be soichet the fruit to make, which is an issa deraisa. So ask Tosfos, why over there do we make a gzeira? And here we don't make a gzeira. If the guy turns on the light, then we don't make a gzeira. So Tosfos says, and it's very hard to know what exactly is the test, what is the standard. But Tosfos says, there we're dealing with food items. We're dealing with that the fruit fell off, or the juice, not the guy, the fruit fell off, or the juice oozed out. So whenever it comes to food, people are more anxious to eat, and that's why we have to make more gzeiros. Also, Tosfos says, those are things that are very easily done. A person could forget himself. He wants an apple, so he just pulls one off the tree. So that's why we had to be stricter on those items than we are in the items mentioned in the Mishnah. Next halacha. Milei mayim lahashkas behemtoi. If a guy took out water to give his animal to drink, mashka achrisol, and there's leftover water, even though there was a malach involved with taking water, let's say from Mishas Yachat to Mishas Rabim, a Jew can give that leftover water to his animal. However, in Bishvil Yisrael, also, Mishvil Yisrael, but if he specifically took the water out on behalf of a Jew, then the halacha is also. So Tosfos, there's a very important Tosfos here, Machlokes Rabbeinu Tam and Ri. Tosfos says that the Mishnah is specifically talking about a situation where the guy took out water for an animal, and that the animal cannot get the water without the guy getting the water out. The animal, it was a kind of pit that the animal couldn't have gotten into. He says, but what will be the halacha about a person? He says, even if a guy took out the water for a Jew specifically, if the Jew could have gotten to this water without the guy, then it's mutter to drink the water. The Ri disagrees. He says, if I got this water from a guy who did a halacha on my behalf, it's usur even if I could have gotten it myself. Let's talk a halacha l'maisa shayla. Let's say somebody has a relative in a hospital, okay, and the hospital has a kosher kitchen, and they're giving the visitor also meals, and he is on the top, on 10th floor, 15th floor, it can even be the first floor, and the guy who brings up the food brings it up with the elevator. Not a Shabbos elevator. With an elevator that you're not allowed to go on Shabbos. Am I the visitor who's healthy? I'm not talking about the chayla. We're not talking about the patient. We're talking about the healthy person. Allowed to eat that food. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it should be mutter. Because I could have gotten the food with derech heter. You could have carried the food up the steps. So if you could get to this thing with derech heter, even the guy did an isser, it's mutter. According to the Ri, it's asr. Because the Ri says that even though it could have been received b'derech heter, the fact is that you got it b'derech, you got it through a guy doing an isser, and it's awesome. What's the halacha? So the mechaber in the Shulchan Aruch paskens like the Ri, that if the guy did a malacha, it's asr. The Ramah paskens like Rabbeinu Tam. However, the Mishnah Berurah brings down many Rishonim that agree with the Ri, and he says that only b'mokam matzoyrich, where there's no other option, you should rely on the Rabbeinu Tam Ramah's heter. Continues the Mishnah. Asa nachri keves leirid boy. They're going off a boat. So the way the Mefarshim explain is like this. If somebody is on a boat before Shabbos, if he traveled past the Tchum on Shabbos, then he would not be allowed to disembark from the boat on Shabbos. We'll speak about that more Mitzvah Shem when we learn Masecht Erevin. Here the situation is where they were within the Tchum, so they could disembark. But the problem was they needed to have a gangplank to walk off the boat. So if the guy built the plank, layered by, for himself to be able to walk, is the halacha Yared Achrav Yisrael. A Jew could walk down afterwards. However, B'mishvi Yisrael, if it was built expressly on behalf of the Jew, the halacha is also. Then you can't walk down. And says the Mishnah, Masmer Gamliel was a Canaan. Shoyboy and Besfina, they were coming on a boat. Vos Nochri Kevis Slayer Boy, he built a gangplank. Vyarbar Gimel was a Canaan, they were killing the Canaan, used it because the guy built it for himself. That is a very fundamental machloikis, Magen Avraham and Rabbi Akiva Eger, on this last case. It's very halach l'maisa. We know that Muksa, you're not allowed to move. That we know. We're going to learn the next parak a lot about Muksa. We also know that muksa you're allowed to touch. Now the question is, are you allowed to have hanoah for muksa? Are you allowed to sit? If something is muksa, you're allowed to sit on it. If something is muksa, you're allowed to have hanoah from it without moving it. So the Magen Avraham brings a raya from this Mishnah that it's mutter, because the guy built this plank on Shabbos. Now the wood was muksa. So how could I walk down the plank? I'm having hanoah from muksa. So raya, that since, but I'm not moving it. Walking down a gangplank, you don't move it. So it's a raya that you're allowed to have a nor from muksa. That's the Magen Avraham's raya. Rabbi Kivega disagrees with the Magen Avraham. Rabbi Kivega says you're not allowed to have a nor from muksa. And he says there must be a case that the wood was not muksa wood. But Rabbi Kivega is a little hard to understand, because even if the wood was a muksa, by building a gangplank, it's noilid. Noilid is certainly muksa. So it's a little hard to understand how Rabbi Kivega is going to understand this Mishnah. So we have three cases in the Mishnah that essentially said the same din. Ask the Gemara, what do I need three cases? B'tzricha. The Ashmin in there, if I would say by candle that the guy lit, you know why we're makel. What's the difference if you put it on for one person or 100 people? It's all one candle. Avamayim, but by water, where the guy took our water for himself, I would say, Ligzer, we shouldn't let you drink the water. Dilma also lefushi b'shvil Yisrael, because I'm afraid he'll take out even more water on behalf of the Jew. That's why we had to say the case of Mayim. Ask the Gemara about Kevis Lomeli, but what's new in the case of the gangplank? That's the same, you say the same concept. One gangplank for one person is the same for 100 people. Answer the Gemara, you're right. There's nothing inherently new in this case. It's just Meister Gamliel was a Kenan Kamashmoy. He wants to teach us the halacha, tell us there was a story that Gamliel relied on this halacha. Begins the Bryce. Toner Abonim. Nachri Shalikar Asovim. If a guy collects grass, Machal Ach of Yisrael, a Jew could take that grass to give his animal to eat. Then Mishvil Yisrael, but if he gave it for a Jew's, if he did it specifically for a Jew, also. My same next thing, Mila Mayum Mahashkas Behemtoi. If he filled up water for his own animal, Mashkach of Yisrael, then the Jew could use it for his animal. However, in Bishvil Yisrael, if he did it specifically for the Jew, like we learned in the Mishnah, Osir. But Medvar Mamurim says the Brisa, Sheim Akiroi, when he doesn't know him, Avam Akiroi. But if you know the guy, it's Osir, and we'll explain all of this. Nadigmar begins to explain the Brisa. We said that if the guy took off grass he cut grass, but he cut it for himself, then the Jew could use the leftover grass for his own animal. Ask the Gemara, Ve'eini, V'amar Rav Huna Amar Reb Chanina, Ma'amit Adam Mehemta Agav Savim B'Shabbos, Avloy Agav Muks B'Shabbos. The halacha is like this. Again, we use this concept consistently. We're less concerned that a Jew will be over a deraisa, will transgress a deraisa than the rabbanim. Mux is a rabbanim. Cutting grass is a deraisa. So the halach is, you could take your animal and put it on a field that the grass is attached to the ground. Because we're not worried that you're going to cut the grass. That's issa deraisa. But to put an animal in a place where it's cut grass is also. Why is it also? Because we're afraid that you're going to pick, since it's only muksa, grass is muksa, we're afraid you're going to pick it up and give it to the animal. So now the question is like this. Here we said that you're allowed to use the grass left over from what the guy cut. You're not allowed to use grass. We just said that it's also. V'omer Rav Huna, Omer Rav Chanino, Ma'am and Adam Behemta El Gavas Som B'Shabbos. You could put your animal on top of grass that's attached to the ground. Avloy El Gavas Muksa B'Shabbos, not on detached grass. Says the Gemara, what happened here was the konla ba'apa vazlihi va'achla. What you did was you didn't stop the animal. You didn't directly put the animal on the cut grass. You just directed the animal that it should go to where the cut grass is. That's mutter. Now, Taisus, a very important Taisus. Taisus says, we know, the pasuk says, l'man yenuach shorcha v'chamorcha. That not only you, but also your animals have to be rested on Shabbos. So how could you let your animal stand and eat grass that's attached to the ground? It's a malacha, we just said, of cutting grass. So Taisa says a very important word. What does Leman Yenuach say? That you're supposed to be at rest. If I don't let my animal eat grass on Shabbos, so the animal is certainly not at rest. He's obviously distressed. Animals eat grass. That's why it's mutter. The Eretz Tzvi, the Kozel Gavur, takes from this Taisus a very important shaila. He says, what do we see from here? That what does the Torah tell us, L'man Yenuach? The Torah is not telling us, L'man Yenuach, that animals are an extension of their owners. Animals have their own chiv. They have a chiv to be menucha, and then we have to define what menucha means. So Taisus says, eating grass is b'menucha. So he says, l'shaila like this. Let's say I live in Israel, but I own animals in Chutz Lartz. Israel is 7 hours ahead of America. So my animals allowed to work on Friday afternoon when it's Shabbos for me already in Israel. So he says, based on this Taisus, they're allowed to. Because the animals aren't an extension of me. And if I'm Osir, my animals are Osir. Animals have their own Chiv. And their own Chiv depends when Shabbos is, wherever they are. Continues the Gemara. Amar Mar. when is the halacha that you're allowed to use what the guy took when you don't know that guy? Av makiroi, but if you know him, also. Now there's a very important Rashi. Rashi says, the Mishnah said, that achrov, you're allowed to use the water after the guy used it for himself. Why after he used it for himself? Because if he uses it for himself, then it's obvious. If he uses it for himself first, then it's obvious that he did it for himself, and you're only taking the leftovers. But if he doesn't take it himself first, then it's not obvious that he did it for himself. Says the Bi'ah Halacha. Rashi says the Bi'ah Halacha doesn't mean to say that the guy has to use it first. What it has to be is that it should be obvious that the guy did it for himself. So if it's obvious that the guy did it for himself, even if he doesn't use it first, Rashi will agree it's mutter. But not if Bryce said, if it makes a difference if you know him or you don't. Ask the Gemara, let's go back to the story of our Mishnah. Reb Gamliel and the guy were on the same boat. Reb Gamliel, Makiroi Hava. Reb Gamliel was in the boat with the guy. And yet, the Mishnah says Reb Gamliel used the guy's gangplank. Rabbi Shleib in front of Hava. It wasn't in front of him. The guy, he wasn't there when the guy built the gangplank. Rav Amar Afil Kem Befonov. Rav says before, even if he was there. Why? Nel Echad Nel Meya. Because when is there a halacha that that the guy is not allowed to know you're there? When he's doing something that could be possibly more for you. But a gangplank, he can't do more for you than if he did anyway. And therefore the halacha is that it's mutter. Now, there's a machloikus we're showing him how to learn this Gemara. Tosfos learns that there's a machloikus Abaye and Rava. Abaye is saying it has to be Shloi Befonov. That's the only heter that if you know the guy. And Rava is saying the only heter is if it's Nelech or Nelameya, if you want to be able to be Befonov. Others say they're not arguing. They're just saying different heterim. One heter is a heter of Shloi Befonov. Another heter is if it's Nelech or Nelameya. If you have either one of those situations, you can be Mekel. Meisvei asked the Gemara, Amlem Gamliel, Hoyel v'shloi b'flanenu asa, since the guy did it without us being there, Nerid boy. So you see, it's clearly only mutter because it was shloi b'fanav. Says the Gemara, Eima hoyel v'asa, since he made it. And take out the word shloi b'fanav, Nerid boy. Toshma, there's a braisa. The braisa says like this, Isha Yisrael v'nachrim darim taychai. You have a city with Jews and non-Jews live in it. V'hois b'merchetz ha-merchetz b'shabbos. And it has a bathhouse that's open in Shabbos. Not a question. Obviously, a Jew's not allowed to go into the bathhouse on Shabbos. The question is, could he go in Motzai Shabbos? So the halacha is like this. If most of the city are non-Jews, Jew could go right into this bathhouse Motzai Shabbos. But if most of the city are Jews, you have to wait until the amount of time it would take to heat this water. What's the kasha? The kasha is obvious kasha. If the guy, this bathhouse is also being heated up for goyim, they're using it, and we're saying that if it's heated up for a goy, it's mutter. So why here is it asur? Answers the Gemara: Hasan ki mechamei adata druba mechamei. The way they work it is they heat it up for the roi of the people, for the majority of people, and if the majority of the people are Jews, that's whom they heat it up for. Toshma, ner adolik b'mesiba. If you have a candle at a party, imroiv nachrin. If most of the people attending the party are Jews, is the halacha mutter? Imroiv nachrin. Sorry, if most of the people were goyim, is the halacha mutter l'shtamish loyver? You're allowed to use that candle because the candle is lit for the goyim. Imroiv yisrael. If it's roiv goy Jews, aser. Machsa masa aser. So now, Ritva asks an obvious question. What do I learn more in this braisa than in the previous braisa? It's the exact same case. We go with the roiv. What is the second braisa adding past the first braisa? So Ritva says a beautiful teretz. He says, in the first braisa, they're heating up, they're exerting themselves, because to heat up a bathhouse in those days was an exertion. So we say that the exertion is for the majority. Here you're turning on a candle. It's no big deal. It's just a light switch. So you'll say that I would think that even if the roiv are Jews, what's the big deal? The guy that's doing it is for himself, because it's no big exertion. Kamashma on the braisa, that we go bust the roiv. Ask the Gemara again the question. He's doing it for himself. Says the Gemara, the same teretz. Hasum nami kemidliki, when the guy put on the candle, adapted the ruba midliki. He did it for the roif. Right. Before we're trying to point that out. Says the Gemara story. Shmuel ikle bei oven turin. Shmuel came to this bei oven turin. Asa hu nagri. A guy came, adlik sharga, and put on the candle. A hadrina Shmuel ape. So Shmuel turned away. Why? Because that the guy had turned it, had put it on, he thought for a Jew, and he's not allowed to have a no. Kivin da chaza, the Isis star of Kakari, he saw that the guy brought a piece of paper to read. So he said, Amma, that the nafshi you did look. He didn't put it on for me, he put it on for himself, so he should be able to read this piece of paper. Adrina Asulap, Gashraga, so then he turned around his face. So the halacha is like this. If the guy does it for himself, then you could have a no, as we're learning from the Mishnah. If the guy does it from you, then you're not allowed to have a no. So now let's understand what's the halacha. If you're in a room, the room is dark, and a guy walks into the room and turns on the light on your behalf. So what's the halacha? So the halacha is you don't have to leave the room. But you're not allowed to do something in the room that you would not be able to do had he not turned on the light. In other words, let's say the room was dark and you couldn't have read, you couldn't have learned in that room because it was dark. Now you can't take a sefer and learn in that room. Because by taking a sefer and learning in that room, you're having direct hanoah from a guy. Now there's a very interesting piece of Orach HaShulchan on this Gemara, Halach L'maisa. He says, a harama is also for by a guy. That means like this. If a guy knows that you're in a room, and he feels bad, he knows the room is dark. So he feels bad, he says, you know, I'll put on the light, I'm doing it for myself. But he's really not doing it for himself. He's just doing it because of a harama. So you should be able to have light. You're not allowed to have noah from that light. But harama by a Jew is mutter. What does that mean? Let's say you don't have light in your room. So says the Orach HaShulchan, a very bechidish lekula, you're allowed to call a guy in and say, you know, I'd like to give you a drink. But it's drink, but it's dark. And the guy then goes and puts on the light, and you give him the drink. Now, you really weren't interested in giving the guy a drink, you were really interested in getting the light on. But harama by a Jew, says the Orach HaShulchan, would be mutter. Two more shailas halach l'maisel. What's the halacha? The Hartzvi asked the shaila. What's the halacha if a guy, the truth is it could be a shaila, unfortunately, by a Jew also, but we're talking about goyim today, turns on the radio on Shabbos Yontif. Are you allowed to listen to the radio? Because what's the shaila? Again, we're not going to talk in a case that he did it on his own behalf. Because he did it on his own behalf, we know it's a little more cool of it. But let's say he did it on your behalf. He knows you're anxious to know what's going on. So what's the shaila? Because in all the cases that we had in the Gemara, there's something about Moshesti. There's water, there's a light, there's something that's tangible. A call, a voice, is aimed by Mamash. The voice that you hear, the sound that you hear emanate from a radio, there's nothing tangible. So maybe mutter. But he paskins that it's also. And that's what Halachi says is, if a guy turns on a radio on behalf of a Jew on Shabbos, he's not allowed to listen to the radio. Another interesting shaila I saw is like this. What's going to be, and based on today's shir, it's very understandable, the psak. What's the halacha if there's a person from Chutz Loretz in Eretz Yisrael for Sukkos? And it's the first day Chol HaMoed. The first day Chol HaMoed for Eretz Yisrael, for them it's Chol HaMoed. For people from Chutz Loretz, it's still Yom Tov. And they went and they cut Aravos. They cut Aravos. And you come to Shul, and are you allowed to take from those freshly cut Aravos? So he says you're allowed to. Because again, it's not that they cut Aravos specifically for me. They're cutting Aravos. They're doing it for themselves. They also, whoever wants to take, I'm not talking about the... Oh, but it's not... So it's muksa. So he said, but again, since it wasn't done specifically for me, there's no problem muksa. Because the person that caught it, it's not muksa for him. Shlom Zalman is Mekel. Haran l'kakisra. The next parak, we actually discuss at length, Hilchas Muksa. Begins the Mishnah with the following din. This is the way Rashi and basically, I think, Tosfos understand this din. You have a chest. And the chest has a door to it. Says, and now the question is, if this door is detached is the door muksa or not. The chest is not muksa, because you can use a box even if it doesn't have a cover. The question is, what is the status of the door? Says the Mishnah, Kol HaKelim Mitom B'Shabbos, all boxes can be moved in Shabbos, but the Tzaseim Imoim, even their doors, Aplishna Sparkle, even though that they were removed, and we'll see, even if they're removed during the week or on Shabbos. She'enim doim l'dasas habayis, l'fi she'enim menemuchim. So where do we show him explain this is like this? What's going to be an halacha by a door of a house? By a door of a house, it's like this. If the door got detached on Shabbos, then you could use it, because it was not muksa before Shabbos. If it got detached before Shabbos, if you intend to use it, so it's not muksa. Otherwise, it is muksa. And we'll talk about this halacha more in a minute. The next halacha of the Mishnah, which can spend a lot of time tomorrow in Mitzvah Shem, is the halacha of a keli shemlach delisser. We know that a keli shemlach delisser is one of the types of muksa, something that primarily used for osa diga use. But the halacha is that letzorich gufay mekaymay, if you need this keli for muta diga use, or you need the place where this keli shemlach delisser is, because you need that, it's on the table, and you need the table for something else, then the halacha is you're allowed to move it. And that's the halacha of the Mishnah. Noitl adam kornos lefetzoi v'yigayzim. You have a hammer. A hammer is muksa. The halacha is you can move the hammer to crack a nut. Or, kardom lachtabayas advelim. You could take this kind of hack to cut, even though it's muksa, to cut figs. Megera is a saw, which is normally muksa, it's a klish machbalissa. Logabayas agvena, to cut the cheese. Megrefa is a type of a shovel. Ligrabayas agroigris. Esarechis is a magzis, like a type of a pitchfork. Losa is a lovely cotton, to put food to feed your child. As a kush with a karker, these are also like needles and sticks that were used in the weaving process. Litchaboy, that you want to use it to eat strawberries, but you don't want to get your hands dirty, so you use it like a toothpick. Machet, shalyad, a needle, which again is obviously normally muksa. Litlboy is a koitz, to take out a splinter. Vesach tzakoyim, which is a bigger type of needle, liftach by a sedalith, to open up a door. If you lost your key, you would use that to be able to pick the lock. So, begins the Gemara. Kol HaKelim Netolim, what did the Mishnah say? That you're allowed to use utensils and their doors, v'alfa bishin the spark of a Shabbos. And certainly, even though they fell from Shabbos. So what is the Gemara saying? What the Mishnah seems to be saying is that even if they fell off on Shabbos, and certainly if they fell off during the week, that you will be allowed to use the door. Ask the Gemara, I don't understand. Adrab, b'Shabbos, if they fell off on Shabbos, what is the defining moment when we say that something is or is not classified as muksa? Ben HaShemoshes. Like we always say, Migadis Katsoyla Ben HaShemoshes. So ask the Gemara like this. If I had a chest that had its door, its cover, whatever it is, attached to it, Bein HaShemoshes. So that the defining moment of Bein HaShemoshes, it wasn't muksa. So even if it fell off on Shabbos, that's why I'll say it's not muksa. But if it fell off during the week, so maybe during the defining moment, it was muksa, and I should say it's muksa. So if anything, the chiddush is that if it fell off during the week, it's not muksa. Certainly if it fell off on Shabbos, that's the Gemara's kasha. Adirabba, b'Shabbos, if it fell off only in Shabbos, mechonim al gabe aviyim, bein hashmoshes, they were part of the chest, and the chest was a muksa, and therefore they aren't muksa. But if it fell off on Shabbos, maybe it should be muksa. Says the Bai, you're right. Hachikomer, kol akelim v'tolim b'Shabbos, v'dasu seim imon. You're allowed to take the chest with the door. Abishin sparkle b'chol, and even though the door came off during the week, still the aloch is nitalim b'Shabbos, the ladder be moved in Shabbos. Now why? So there's a very big machlokes rishonim. Pashup shat, and that's what it seems Tosfos learns, is because these doors are meant to be put back on the chest. So since they're meant to be put back on the chest, so they're considered still part of the chest, even when they're detached. But if that's pshat, the poskim ask a gvalda geshayla. The halacha is, if a button falls off on Shabbos, it's muksa. You're not allowed to move the button. Now the question is why? That button was on the Beged, Bein HaShemoshes, it stands to be reattached to the Beged, when it's all back on. So why should it be Muksa? It should be like a door, which we're just learning even if it fell off during the week, and certainly if it fell off on Shabbos, is not Muksa. Why is the button different than a door? So the Taisus Rid has a different approach to the Mishnah, and according to his approach, we'd understand it. He says that the reason the door is not muksa is not because I intend to put it back. So he says, we intend to put it back. So what? He says, because the door has a use even when it's detached. Because you could use it to cover something. So now we can understand very well the difference between a door and a button. A door, even though its primary use is to be the cover of the chest, has an independent use, a non-muks independent use, as a cover for whatever you need a cover. However, a button has no use. If a button falls off, you don't use a button for anything else besides being a button. And to sew on a button, not allowed to on Shabbos. That's why a button would be more chomer than this cover of the door.